Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and as I am recording this, it is currently the morning of the 1st of September 2011, and today I'm talking once again to Kevin Ryan, who my listeners might remember I talked to just last week in regard to the Toronto hearings that will be taking place at Ryerson University next week to mark the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And now I would not normally have a guest back on the program so quickly, but in this case, Kevin Ryan went and wrote yet another extremely important article in a seemingly endless parade of important 9/11 articles. And this one is a guest post that he wrote on Washington's blog entitled Playing the Get Into Saudi Arabia Free Card. And this article was just too important not to have him back on the program to discuss it, so let's bring him up here. Kevin Ryan, thank you once again for joining us on the Corbett Report.
Thank you, James.
Well, Kevin, my listeners should be familiar with the heart of this matter because we just talked about it recently on the program. And basically, this regards a recent tempest that was caused by former White House counterterror czar Richard Clark, who made some allegations about Tenet and other top CIA officials deliberately holding back information about two of the alleged 9/11 hijackers who were living openly in the U.S. for up to a year before the attacks. And if they're not familiar with that story, I think the listeners should go back and listen to my recent interview with ex-CIA analyst Ray McGovern, where we discussed it in some detail. But your article, I think, brings up some extremely important context that's really important for understanding the meaning of these and other revelations that seem to point to the possible culpability of Saudi Arabia in the 9/11 attacks. So can you tell us about your article and what it is you felt the need to bring up that's being left out of this story so far?
Yeah, I think that the reason that I ended up writing this article was that several people had alerted me to the idea that Saudi Arabia might be a new kind of target in the so-called war on terror. I had talked to an NPR producer about at the time about my appearing on NPR for an interview. But he was kind of feeling me out on a number of things. And one of the things he mentioned was that, 28 pages were redacted and withheld from the public from the Joint Congressional Inquiry Report, was the original kind of mini investigation into 9/11 before the 9/11 Commission. And 28 pages had been redacted and withheld from public access. And those are in large part considered to be sections which have a lot of references to Saudi Arabia and potentially Saudi Arabian financing of Al-Qaeda. And, this producer asked me if I would be interested to know that those might be released at some point in the future. And he wondered if I thought that those pages might kind of clear up a lot of the questions about 9/11 that are remaining. And in addition to that, I was contacted by Miles Kara, who's a member of the 9/11 Commission staff, a military intelligence officer, who pointed me to a book that I ended up getting and learning that this book seems to point towards the same sort of allegations that Saudi Arabia might have been involved. And as you said, Richard Clark, his interview also seems to indicate that these hijackers that were living, these alleged hijackers that were living with an FBI informant might also have been Saudi agents of some sort. And so all these things coming together gave me the idea that I should just write an outline of what I know about the connections between Saudi Arabia and 9/11 and show how those connections actually seem to implicate Western corporations and powerful people, if not implicate them, at least that it leads to the question of whether they should be investigated.
Yeah, perhaps you can go through just a few of those connections and why they are so important.
Yeah, well, one thing that I've noticed in the past is that, for example, there is evidence that was gathered that included the passport of one of the hijackers that had originally fallen from, it was said to have fallen from one of the towers. And that was collected and provided as evidence by a member of the New York City Police Department. And at the time, the New York City Police Commissioner was a guy named Bernard Carrick. And, right now this guy's in prison under quite a few charges. But, you know, at the time he was a hero of 9/11. He was kind of the sidekick of the mayor, Rudy Giuliani. And years before that, he had worked in Saudi Arabia on several 3-year stints, one for a company called Morrison Knudsen, which actually occupied part of the South Tower with its subsidiary, the Washington Group. And he worked there for 3 years at Morrison Knudsen in the 70s, and then he worked for 3 years for the Saudi royal family as a chief investigator. And so Bernard Carrick is a really interesting guy with regard to 9/11, and people should probably look him up. Some of the papers I've written related to demolition access to the buildings and so forth give some of the information. But then there were the companies that cleaned up Ground Zero, and there were two primary companies, both of which had done major work in Saudi Arabia. One of them, coincidentally, had just completed the refurbishment of Wedge One of the Pentagon. This is a company called AMEC. And Wedge One is exactly where Flight 77 impacted the building. So the fact that this company had just completed this renovation, and then shortly thereafter, 9/11 occurred, and they were hired to clean up Ground Zero seemed very interesting to me, especially with the fact that AMEC has a long history in Saudi Arabia, does a lot of work for the oil company Saudi Aramco, which is really the richest company in the world, although it's private, it doesn't get a lot of notice. Another connection was between the company that designed the World Trade Center security, and that's Kroll Associates. Kroll and Associates, they actually have a number of connections, but one of them is the previous ambassador to Saudi Arabia, who is Ray Mabus, and he was a director at Kroll. And also all of the companies that implemented that security system that Kroll had designed, there were several, four of them actually, Electronic Systems Associates and EJ Electric and NSEC. They had all, along with this company that most people know a little better, Stratasec or Stratisec, all four of those companies had done major work in Saudi Arabia. So I thought that was interesting and worthy of looking into, considering what happened and considering the all-important role that Stratasec played in security for several of the facilities that related to 9/11. So, you know, going from there, there's the Carlyle Group, which who's a subsidiary BDM, provided employees to Stratasec, some of the primary employees, including Barry McDaniel, the COO, and, you know, BDM, that Carlyle subsidiary had done quite a bit of work in Saudi Arabia, along with Vanel Corporation, which was owned by BDM. Science Applications International Corporation, I've written a lot about that company, SAIC. They trained the Saudi Navy, and they had Saudi military people coming to San Diego on their behalf. They played a large part in both the World Trade Center investigation after 9/11 and also the World Trade Center investigation after the 1993 bombing. And they really are just, you know, their work is interspersed throughout the independent investigation of SAIC or of 9/11.
Sorry, just to clarify, that's SAIC.
Yeah, SAIC is the company. Science Applications International Corporation. I mean, they did things like they provided the intelligence that tracked down Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. They rebuilt the National Security Agency and FBI systems after 9/11. In addition to doing all this investigative work for the World Trade Center, you know, there's a lot to say about SAIC. I could go on for quite a while. This is another big company, though, that has big connections in Saudi Arabia and also has big connections with 9/11 and the explanations that we've been given for what happened on 9/11. I pointed out in my article that there's a company called Solomon Smith Barney that occupied most of the floors in World Trade Center Building 7. And it had recently just been purchased by Citigroup, which had just been saved by a prince from Saudi Arabia in a deal brokered by the Carlyle Group. And You know, in addition to that, curiosity is that Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney at that time joined the advisory board for Salmon Smith Barney and stayed on that board for a couple of years until they had to quit to become part of the George Bush administration, George W. Bush. Finally, the Saudi government, of course, I think a lot of people know, was sued by thousands of victims of the 9/11 attacks due to the suspicion that Saudi Arabia funded Al-Qaeda. And, you know, that lawsuit was thrown out. But what's interesting is that the Saudis hired Baker Botts law firm, which is the firm of James Baker, who is a longtime insider in the in Bush administrations and going back quite a ways, has been a business partner of them. So all these things taken to taken as a whole lead me to believe that, yes, maybe Saudi Arabia has some strong connections to what actually happened, the unanswered questions that we have. But that leads us to other people that have also been suspected and also need to be investigated. I believe that the Saudi Arabian royal family is well known for having a very close relationship with the Bush family. There's a book by Craig Unger called House of Bush, House of Saud, which was followed up by another very good book called The Fall of the House of Bush, which detail the long-standing relationship between the Saudi royal family and the Bush family that whose members occupied the White House for 12 years since Al-Qaeda has become such a big threat. That was since around 1990. Anyway, there's all these connections between these Western powers, these Western companies, strong, powerful politicians in the United States and Saudi Arabia. And there are also do seem to be connections between Saudi Arabia and the financing of Al-Qaeda. Even farther back than that, there's connections between Saudi Arabia and a terrorist financing bank called Bank of Credit and Commerce International, BCCI, and also an international sort of intelligence consortium called the Safari Club. And, these things, if you look deeply at them, they seem to point towards the development of a terrorist network that has since been nurtured and cultivated by deep state operatives, probably run by Western powers as well. So I think there's a very tangled web involved, but investigation of Saudi Arabia appears to point towards investigation of some of these corporations I've mentioned, the Carlyle Group and SEIC and potentially Salmon Smith Barney and the Citigroup that owned them.
Very interesting research indeed. And so, correct me if I'm wrong, but essentially this seems to implicate the idea that that the Saudi Arabian connection or the Saudi Arabia angle that seems to be gaining some traction recently is perhaps in itself a type of limited hangout that was implanted in the cover-up itself with the redacted 28 pages and all of this other information that's starting to come out in a way to try to perhaps obfuscate the real role again of Western intelligence and other deep state actors.
Yeah, I would say so. And that's reflected in the title of my article, which I've always kind of seen the 28 pages that were redacted from the Joint Congressional Inquiry, as well as a lot of what the 9/11 Commission says, with the 15 of the 19 hijackers being from Saudi Arabia and so forth. I've seen that as kind of being a dormant, what I call a get into Saudi Arabia free card. You know, at some point, people will recognize that really the people who ostensibly attacked us on 9/11, a case could be made that that was the Saudi Arabian government or the Saudi Arabian people, which I wouldn't say, of course. There's a clear disconnect between the Saudi Arabian royal family and the people of Saudi Arabia. They're not very representative of their people at all. But they are representative of Western governments and Western powers and sort of deep state operatives like the Bush family and their colleagues. So I think that yeah, you could call it as a limited hangout to some extent, but I think it's also kind of a diversion that they can get people that enough people can kind of agree to, so that if it's necessary to invade and occupy Saudi Arabia, because of course that's where the world's greatest oil reserves lie, by the way, Iraq is a number two on that count. And Iran, of course, is very close there. But Saudi Arabia still has the largest oil reserves in the world. And a lot of people have noticed that Al-Qaeda, whoever they are, seem to concentrate on, either attacks or their attacks concentrated on or their members originate from areas where we have these most strategically important resources, whether it be natural gas or oil or minerals and so forth. So, yeah, I think that it's possible that it's been planned in advance, that there'll be a story that will lead us eventually to invade Saudi Arabia, and it might be a good idea for people to learn as much as they can about who's really been behind the Saudi Arabian government and supported them for the last many decades.
Well, I think trying to learn as much as we can is sage advice in just about any area, but certainly I think this one will bear particularly interesting fruits, as your article already has begun to expose. So I certainly hope that people will go, and of course they can find a link from this interview on CorbettReport.com to that article so they can read it if they haven't yet done so. And I certainly hope people will read some of your other articles, which also I think are similarly interesting and well-sourced, and that's something that I place a great value on, because not a lot of people do take the time to source all of their statements and things. So once again, Kevin Ryan, I think this is an important article, so I thank you for writing it, and thank you once again for appearing on the Corbett Report.
Thank you, James.